The Audio Guide to the Galaxy is recorded at SciTech on Whadjuk Noongar land. Good evening, everybody. My name is Leon.
And I'm Beth.
And this is the Audio Guide to the Galaxy, your monthly stargazing companion for the night sky in Borlu on Whadjuk Noongar land.
So, Leon, what's up this month?
Good question, Beth. This month is actually pretty good for going outside and seeing if you can spot some planets.
Ooh.
We will start, as we have in the last couple of months. We're going to warm up with our planet in the western sky after sunset. Do you remember what that is, Beth?
It is Venus.
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 The wonderful Venus.
The wonderful Venus.
Sounds even better when you whisper it.
Venus.
So if you haven't seen it yet, yes, Venus is in the western sky after sunset. So
watching the sunset, yep. We're looking in that direction, but not directly at the sun, so it doesn't hit our eyes.
Correct.
Although it is kind of okay at that time of night because of the atmosphere, but, like, be careful.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
in the direction that the sun sets.
In the direction that the sun sets, the evening star, not a star, is a planet, Venus.
Venus, very bright, you can't miss it. If you're looking at something bright in the western sky, it's Venus.
It's probably Venus.
And it will be there all month. It'll be up for, till about 9 p.m., even mm-hmm. possibly even later all month.
Awesome.
So make sure you go out and have a look at that.
Now, still looking that way.
Yes.
Venus is not the only planet, right?
Venus is not the only planet there, because lower down on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. So I found Venus very, very bright up in the sky.
Yep.
Looking down closer to the horizon.
Closer to the horizon. There is another bright object, and that is the somewhat difficult to see, Mercury.
What makes it difficult to see?
So the bit that makes Mercury difficult to see is it moves very, very quickly.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is if you look at it tonight and then you go outside and look at it tomorrow night, it will be in a noticeably different position in
right.
the sky.
Right, okay.
And because of that, it's only visible for a few weeks. So, it'll be up during November. You'll be able to see it for about an hour after sunset.
Okay.
But, don't wait, I'm busy in November, I'll wait until summer holidays in December. It's going to be gone by December.
It'll be gone. Okay.
Yeah. So what you can do is you can go outside and find Venus and find Mercury and, maybe a week later go out and look at them again and look how far Mercury has moved in the sky.
Well, because there's another thing that you can also compare to where Venus is, because relative to the other things going on in the sky, Venus is relatively stationary at the moment.
Yeah.
Because it's on its lovely sticking around.
Yeah, it's leg. Moving, but not that fast.
Yeah. So there's Mercury, which is, again, moving quite quickly in comparison to Venus.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the constellations around there are moving quite quickly in comparison to Venus.
They are.
Although they're not really moving, it's just this movie. So Scorpius is also heading downwards on our horizon.
It is.
Comparatively, like if it's the same time of day
yep.
That you're going out over the course of a couple of weeks, you'll see Scorpius shifting relative to Venus, and particularly its lovely red belly star, Antares.
Antares. Yeah, so just to check my understanding. So if I'm looking out at Venus and Mercury, as we've been describing,
yep.
The background stars,
yes.
just at the moment, happens to be Scorpius.
Yes.
And throughout the month of November, you can actually, if you go out once a week and look, you can look at where those background stars are, and you'll see them in a different spot every time as well.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And that's, what we're really seeing is the Earth moving.
Yeah.
But it makes it look like the stars are moving instead.
Yeah. But it means that at some point this month as well, we actually have a really fun little lineup in the night sky
yeah.
where you will be able to see pretty much in a line, not exactly, but
close enough
compared to the rest of the whole sky,
yeah.
in a line, two planets,
uh-huh.
a star, and the moon.
And the moon, of course.
Yeah, all in a lovely line, which I just think is quite romantic.
That would have to be around the new moon, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think it's
I believe it will be around the 4th.
Yes, so, very quickly. Even after the 4th, you'd still be able to see the two planets and the star Antares, but not the moon.
Gotcha. Okay, so if you're outside on the 4th of November looking to the west, you'll be able to see Mercury, Antares, the red star.
Yes.
The moon and Venus all lined up in the sky.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I see what you mean. Yeah, the moon moves very quickly across the sky.
Yes.
So, if you're out on the 10th, the moon's not going to be there.
No.
But Mercury, Venus and Antares will still be there.
Yeah. So that's a really good part of the sky to be looking at just after sunset.
Yep.
But then, maybe once Mercury's gone down, quickly, turn around.
Turn around, yes, because this month we're practicing. We're going to be warming
okay.
up. We're going to be practicing looking at Jupiter. And so once you've watched Mercury set in the west
mm-hmm.
and Venus is still there but you've given it a wave
an hour or so after sunset
you turn around because rising in the east is Jupiter and Jupiter is very bright, very, very, almost whitish in the sky. And we're approaching, it's not quite, but we are approaching the best time this year to see Jupiter.
Awesome.
So the best time will be actually in early December, but that's why we're going to use November as sort of a practice. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you can see Jupiter rising in the east just, you know, an hour or so after sunset. Also, and it's going to be up most of the night.
Really good thing if, you know, if maybe you want to practice looking with your eyes, because maybe you can ask for a telescope for Christmas. Ooh. Jupiter's a pretty good thing to look for with a telescope.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
No, because then you might even be able to see some moons.
Ooh, yeah, seeing moons of Jupiter. Exciting. There you go,
there
yes.
There you go.
So, yeah, Jupiter rising in the east. Yeah, up a little bit later, but as we say, it's only going to get better. So this is now's our month to practice.
Yes. And then to the northeast of Jupiter, we've got interesting things going on.
Yes, to the northeast of the sky, not of Jupiter. So Jupiter will be in the east.
If you're looking at Jupiter in the east, further north of Jupiter,
yes,
in the northeast of the sky.
Oh,
so,
right, yes.
So I've looked, I've watched the sunset, I've turned around, so I'm looking east, and then I turn left a bit.
Yep.
I'm looking at the northeast part of the sky.
The sky, yes. However, at a completely different time of day.
Okay.
This time, what we're leading you up to is there is going to be shooting stars this month, or meteors, as is their correct name.
Yes, because they're not really stars.
No, but to see these, you need to be one of those people who you need to pretend it's Christmas Day and get up really early, like before sunrise.
No.
Now, I know not everybody does. I've recently become one of those monsters that sometimes does get up before sunrise. And the reason we're looking to the northeast is because there is a meteor shower called the Leonids happening this month.
Which means, if they're the Leonids, that they're happening in the constellation of Leo.
Leo, that's
so
right.
To find Leo, so we're talking early in the morning, so maybe you've looked at Jupiter and then stayed up all night. Or if you haven't, you've gotten up really early in the morning
and
gone up again. Yep. So Leo looks like a backwards question mark in the northeast part of the sky. So before the sun rises in the east, the direction you're expecting the sun to rise in, a little bit north of that, you should be able to find your backwards question mark. And this meteor shower should look like it's roughly originating from within the curve of that question mark of Leo.
Yes, and to clarify, this question mark you keep talking about is an imaginary pattern of stars that we connect to the dots.
Yes, sorry, no, I haven't just drawn a question mark
no,
on the sky.
Right. There are real stars in the sky, which if you draw imaginary lines between them, they look like
an upside down question mark.
Yes, and yeah, you're right. The meteors of the Leonids meteor shower seem to emanate from within that curve.
Yes.
Now, of course, they're actually the origin of a meteor shower is dust clouds in space. So
yes.
What's actually happening is Earth is ploughing through a dust cloud in space. And it sounds dramatic. We're really literally talking about specks of dust, though, against the whole planet.
And it's literally just them burning up in our atmosphere makes it look like shooting stars.
Yeah, that's right. And so the best time to see this is on the morning of the 18th of November, or maybe the 17th or the 19th, either side, before sunrise.
So that's when it'll be at its peak.
At its peak, that's right. That's when Earth is in the thickest part of this dust cloud in space. And you can expect to see a meteor maybe every 5 or so minutes, maybe every 10 minutes. Yeah, and these meteors move really, really fast.
Mm.
It's almost like Earth and the meteors are having a head-on. You know, meteors can come in from any angle, but these Leonids are almost coming in straight in front, straight through the windscreen.
Yes, so they look like they're travelling very, very quickly.
They are
travelling very, very quickly.
Yeah,
until
relative to us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really worth checking out this morning. This month, if you're one of those people who likes to get up before sunrise, just pretend it's Christmas.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Your parents won't mind.
So I think that brings us to our constellation of the month.
It does.
Which is not Leo.
No, our constellation of the month this month is, we're going to take another turn.
Oh.
So imagine we have been looking at Leo.
Yep,
northeast. Yes, we're going to turn to our right until we are facing south.
Okay. So, this might be easier in evening sky if you're an evening person.
This one you can see in the evening. In fact, we recommend going to the evening. So it might be better to say if you're looking at Venus in the west, turn to your left.
Yes.
And you're facing south.
Face south.
Face south. And it's not that hard to face south. Now, this is a very faint constellation, the constellation of month this month, so you might need a little bit of help to find it. You might not like to use a computer or use a star chart or a map.
Or our favourite app.
Our favourite app. What's
Stellarium.
It called? Stellarium, yes. Very handy. You can look at it up. You know, you can look at it inside and then go outside and try and find it. It's called Mensa.
Mensa.
Yes.
Is that related to the Very Clever People's Association?
Believe it or not, it is not related at all.
Ah.
It's named after a mountain, as a matter of fact. Was it Mons Mensa?
Mons Mensae.
Mons Mensae.
So Mensae in Latin, or Mensa in Latin, it means table.
Table.
So it's named after Table Mountain
in
South Africa.
Yes, a mountain in South Africa.
Yes. So it was named by an astronomer, Nicolas Louis de La Salle, I think, in the 18th century. He originally called it Mons Mensae, and then in 1844, Sir John Herschel...
very famous scientist.
Yeah, proposed to shorten it. So this is a very new constellation, but de La Salle, I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. I'm not French. I'm sorry. he named it, his observatory was near Table Mountain.
Right.
So Table Mountain, the reason that it's called that is because it's more of a mesa, which is just a big flat plateau.
Like the top half of the mountain's missing.
Yes. It's still very, very high up, though. So one of the other nice things about Mensa is that the Table Mountain was often covered in clouds. And in the night sky, if you're really lucky, and it's really dark, you might be able to spot this faint constellation of Mensa, but you also might be able to spot a couple of space clouds. But they're not actually space clouds.
No, they're the Magellanic Clouds. Right, so we've covered a lot there. Let's just quickly rewind.
Yes.
So, yes, we've gone outside. We're looking to the south.
Yes.
And we've probably used our app to help us find Mensa.
Yes, because this is a difficult constellation. It is also just one of those two dots with a line in between them. It's a straight line.
I have seen drawings that have two other lines. So it actually looks like a plateau.
Like a plateau.
Yeah. So, to recap, Table Mountain is a mountain in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it looks like a mountain that someone just came and cut in half and
thrown
the pointy top off, and you've just got this flat top. Yeah, you've said there's the wispy clouds in real life on Table Mountain, reminiscent of the Magellanic Clouds, which are real things you can see in the sky that you have to get away from the lights. You can't see this from the city lights.
Yes.
But if you're in a night sky, like maybe you're going camping or something like that, away from the city lights, you can see they look like clouds.
They do.
Out of the corner of your eye, you're like, is that a cloud over there?
Yeah, like a little white smudge against the backdrop of the dark sky.
Yes, and was he Spanish or was he Dutch? A navigator called Ferdinand Magellan wrote about these in the 16th century. And so they are now called the Magellanic Clouds. We now know they are not clouds.
No, they are in fact dwarf galaxies. So you can be looking up into a night sky and, like the Milky Way, looks like a big sort of smudge across the sky. These little dwarf galaxies also look like little smudges across the sky.
Right.
The Large Magellanic Cloud, I particularly think, looks like a lobster. genuinely. The small one just looks like a smudge.
Right.
But they're actually not clouds at all. They are galaxies.
Galaxies,
so there are thousands and thousands of stars.
Right. So in recent months, especially during winter, July, whatever, we've been talking about how the Milky Way, the brightest part of the Milky Way galaxy is, you know, during July and winter. And the Milky Way is a very large galaxy and we are inside it. It stretches all the way across the sky during certain times of year, summer, not so much. But when we look at Mensa and we see the Small Magellanic Cloud, we're seeing another small galaxy.
Yes.
And it's outside the Milky Way.
Yes. So the Large and Small Magellanic Clouds sort of follow our galaxy around the universe.
Right. So a bit like how the Moon orbits the Earth.
Yes.
The Magellanic Clouds orbit the Milky Way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so I remember reading about this. Even though the Magellanic Cloud is a dwarf galaxy, I think it's only about 1% as heavy as the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah, so it's a lot smaller.
It's a lot smaller
than ours.
It's still a galaxy, but it's an itty-bitty small
It's a tiny one. It's just a little friend.
And it's there in Mensa.
Yeah, but Mensa's also, like, it's really good to look out for from Australia because we're one of the few places that can actually see it.
Mm.
Because Mensa is actually only visible if you are south of 5 degrees north. So it's actually the second most southerly constellation. So it's a little bit of a treat if you can spot it as well. Because, you just can't see it if you're too far north.
I was talking to an astronomer many years ago who was from the United Kingdom, where you are, and he said he had moved to Australia because his research area was the Magellanic Cloud.
Oh, awesome.
But because astronomy is very automated these days, he had written papers and research papers and theses on the Magellanic Clouds and had never actually seen them until he came to Australia in his 30s and actually saw them. So, you know, he'd done all the telescope observations remotely, robotically, but had never actually seen them. So if you want to see them, you have to get away from the city. They're too faint to be seen with, you know, in your backyard.
No, you need a dark sky.
If you are going camping or if you live really far away, perfect.
Yeah.
And they're in the southern sky.
All right. So I think that's about it for what's
in the sky.
In the sky.
But there is a very, very exciting event happening this month.
On land.
On land, yes. Right here in the city. You don't need to go out camping. You don't need to wait for the school holidays. It's Astrofest.
Astrofest.
So Astrofest is the once a year, the biggest, best public astronomy event in all of Australia, and it's held right here in Perth. And it's on the 9th of November at Curtin Stadium at Curtin University. And it's a public astronomy event. You can bring the family, so it's suitable for all ages, parents, children, all of the above, and it's a little bit of everything. You can look through telescopes. There'll be people out there on the lawn with telescopes. There'll be real astronomers giving talks about what research they do.
SciTech will be there.
Are you going to be there, Beth?
I'm not going to be there. I am
You're taking SciTech on the road, aren't you?
I'm taking SciTech on the road. We are going to be off to the south coast.
Oh, you'll be down south.
Yeah.
I'll be here. I'll be at Astrofest. There's thousands of people there, real astronomers. SciTech will be there. You can see radio telescopes. You can ask astronomers questions about what they've discovered.
Maybe you could even use a telescope to have a little look at Jupiter or Mensa.
Yeah, if you ask nicely, one of the people might point their telescope at the Large Magellanic Cloud. So it's so worth it. It's definitely worth going. That is on the 9th of November, starting from 5:30 p.m. So obviously at 5:30 p.m. the sun will still be up. So if you want to look through the telescopes at the night sky, you need to wait a little bit later. But, you know, you can grab something to eat while you're there. There'll be live shows outside, people pointing out stars and constellations and everything like that. So it is a fantastic way to spend the evening. Don't miss it. I'll be there. I'll see you there.
Awesome. Well, I think that's pretty much it for us this month. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here, Beth.
Thank you for being here, Leon.
And we'll see you next month where we talk about the night sky in December. If you'd like to know more about what we've been talking about today, you can find more by going to the SciTech website, and there you'll find a link for a page called The Sky Tonight, which is a monthly blog written by us here at SciTech about all the wonderful things you can see in the night sky.